Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com. This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 85,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature. For Stuff to Blow Your Mind, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. One audiobook to consider is Physics of the Future, How Science Will Shape Human Destiny in Our Daily Lives by the Year 2100 by Michio Kaku. Kaku predicts what the world will be like in 100 years based on interviews from over 300 top scientists. From computers to robots to medicine, Kaku predicts an exciting future world. That's Physics of the Future, How Science Will Shape Human Destiny in Our Daily Lives by the Year 2100, available from Audible. To try Audible free today and to get a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/mindstuff. That's audiblepodcast.com/mindstuff.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And if you're listening to this episode, ideally you're listening to it during a holiday season when this is like a cheerful kind of a thing. Like, oh, Santa, it's kind of neat they're doing a Christmas holiday kind of episode. That's awesome. Because if you're listening to it in March, you're kind of like, oh, this is a Christmas episode. Or maybe you even skipped it. I don't know. That's the danger of seasonally specific episodes.
Yeah.
But hang on. Don't leave us if you are listening to this in July or something. Because we're getting down to some of the science or the theoretical science of Santa.
Yeah.
We have a really good article or two on the HowStuffWorks website that deal with some of this, like how would Santa's sleigh actually work? And it's kind of fun to take something that's magical, like Santa Claus, and try and translate into the real world. How would Santa Claus travel around the world in a single night?
Yeah.
How would reindeer pull a sleigh through the air? And one of the big ones, how does he make all those toys? Is it really dependent on elf labor? Or is there maybe something a little more sciencey going on?
There's something more sciencey going on, for sure.
Something, I dare say, dangerous going on, actually.
It could be menacing.
Right.
We'll talk about it.
I mean, it depends on how, do you think Santa Claus is the right person to command this technology? Or, I mean, is it safe? Do we need to see about securing it?
See, and this is the podcast where we will take you from Santa Claus to the singularity. Didn't think we could do it, but
yeah,
we will.
From Santa Claus to possibly the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
In one night.
Let's begin.
So, toys. Mm-hmm. If you've ever watched like an old-timey Santa Claus film that tries to depict a toy manufacturing facility, mm-hmm. they're generally making really basic toys.
Like, well, it's stop animation.
Yeah, elves hammering together some stuff. And sometimes it'll be like children only get 3 or 4 things. Like, mm-hmm. I think like, in Santa Claus versus the Martians, it's like there's the doll, there's the bat, there's the, you know, it's, there's not a lot of variety. And mm-hmm. granted, the Martian kids didn't need it, but need a lot of variety in their gifts. But ideally, if you had Santa Claus actually bringing gifts to everyone, he would need a universal constructor.
Yes.
He would need a device that's not unlike the technology you see on Star Trek, mm-hmm. when they go in and they push a button and any food comes out of their little microwave-like device.
Yes.
The idea that you would have a machine that could build anything from the bottom up.
Anything. Dog food turns into a lovely dress.
Right. Yeah.
In theory.
Yeah, they could build everything from an iPhone to a wooden horse. Mm-hmm. To, I don't know, even like a puppy or something. Because Santa Claus sometimes brings live animals. And
Possibly.
He can.
I'm just thinking about it. We were talking about stem cell generated organs. Why not a dog sewn out of that? So basically, to me, it's like a computer version of a golem, a computer that constructs at our bidding, mm-hmm. but does so autonomously. And this is sort of a theoretical framework that we're talking about, but this is something that people want and actually feel it might come into play someday in the future, right?
Right. We've spoken a little in the podcast episodes about nanomanufacturing, mm-hmm. the idea of using nanotechnology and building things from the bottom up at the smallest level. The mm-hmm. idea that if you're building something at a molecular level, mm-hmm. Or an atomic level, the way nature builds things, then you can build anything.
Right. So the smaller the particle, the more you can manipulate it.
Right. It's not like, what can I build out of wood? It's what can I build out, or even what can I build out of some sort of iron molecules? You're dealing at an even lower level, like a base level, mm-hmm. to where everything is possible.
Mm-hmm. So this is the universal constructor. John von Neumann, a Hungarian-American mathematician, created a proposal centered around the combination of a universal constructor, which could make anything it was directed to make, and a universal computer, which could compute anything it was directed to compute. This combination provides immense value because it can be reprogrammed to make any of a wide range of things. So it could do it at a very low cost, right, which would be really important. And the ability of the device to make copies of itself would just simply be a means to achieve low cost, rather than the ability to continue to stamp out versions of itself.
Right. Yeah, the idea of the self-replicating machine especially is kind of like the holy grail and the ultimate nightmare.
Right.
But it's like the holy grail in that's what life does. I mean, the whole point of life as a larger concept, and not just, goldfish or humans or cactus. It self-replicates. Like, its whole programming is to make more copies of itself, mm-hmm. and pass
on its DNA.
Yeah, and make better copies of itself.
Right.
That will continue to copy and copy and copy forever.
So there's two issues with the universal constructor. One is the ability to have this sort of like Ford assembly line on steroids, right?
Right.
To continue to punch out products. But then there's the other idea where it has the self-replicating technology that it just begins to make copies of itself, right? So mm-hmm. all of a sudden you have a universe that's populated by universal constructors.
Yes.
And I'm jumping ahead a bit much, but just to see where we're going with this idea.
Right, because that's the whole thing. It's like, if you had a universal constructor, you could make another universal constructor.
Right, and it would be really helpful if you were going to construct something like the Dyson sphere, right? Like, we've talked about, here's this idea about this Dyson sphere that you could, harness the energy of another planet. You could build another habitat, but you have to have the technology for it. Obviously, you can't send a bunch of people up there to do, to Mars, for instance, to do this.
Yeah, and like, especially if you're talking about building mega structures, too, mm-hmm. Be it a particularly enormous skyscraper, a space elevator, mm-hmm. or some sort of structure that, encloses a star or something. You're talking about taking the mass of planets and transforming them into, say, you know, carbon nanotubes.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, the person who termed it the Santa Claus machine, physicist Ted Taylor, said, quote, "It is possible to imagine a machine that could scoop up material, rocks from the moon or rocks from asteroids, process them inside and produce just about any product, washing machines or teacups or automobiles or starships. Once such a machine exists, it could gather sunlight and materials that it's sitting on and produce on call whatever product anyone wants to name, as long as somebody knows how to make it and those instructions can be given to the machine. I think the name Santa Claus machine for such a device is appropriate." Of course you would. So then you've got the guy, John von Neumann, and he's trying to figure out this hypothetical machine, and he succeeds in figuring it out. At least theoretically, when he found a mathematical model for such a machine with very complicated rules on a rectangular grid. So it's based on a cellular automaton, a mathematical grid of cells that exist in a finite number of states, such as like a on or off position.
Okay, and it comes back to the whole thing about nanotechnology. The smaller the building blocks that you use to create something, the more command you have over the properties of the materials, and then ultimately the things that those materials compose.
Right. And, I mean, this has really taken off, especially in the 70s. People took this idea and they sort of ran with it, this cellular automaton. And, in fact, there's something called Conway's Game of Life, and this was created by British mathematician John Horton Conway. He created the Game of Life based on cellular automaton described by John von Neumann. A person essentially interacts with a model by creating an initial configuration and then observes how it evolves. Mm-hmm. So, and this isn't a mathematical model, right? We're talking about computer science here. And it's really cool because it's been a crowdsourcing sort of event.
Uh-huh.
And people have created some really amazing theoretical models based on this. And what he did is he took this idea that von Neumann had, and he created simple rules rather than complex rules. Okay, mm-hmm. So he made sort of a miniature version of this. And the simple rules lead to emergence or self-organized structures. And current developments have gone so far as to create theoretic emulations of computer systems within the confines of a life board. And Conway chose his rules really carefully. He said, one, there should be no explosive growth in these models, okay? There should exist small initial patterns with chaotic, unpredictable outcomes. There should be potential for a von Neumann universal constructor, right? Because that's really the end all of what we want to get to here. The rules should be as simple as possible whilst adhering to all the above constraints. Okay, this is a gigantic thought experiment that eventually could get us to a place where it would have real-world applications, right?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, cognitive scientist Daniel Dennett has used the analog of Conway's life universe extensively to illustrate the possible evolution of complex philosophical constructs such as consciousness and free will from this sort of simple set of deterministic physical laws that govern our own universe. So there's this idea that free will, consciousness, is a self-organizing principle based on simple rules.
Ah.
Yeah. Which means that, I don't know, you know, too much, we talk about this all the time, but, you know, whether or not free will really exists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's these simple rules and only certain amount of outcomes are possible, then is it really free will?
So, again, this whole idea of universal constructor, heavily theoretical,
yes.
Thought experiment. But what if it actually did exist, right? What
right.
if we actually were able to create a machine?
Not
in our lifetime.
Let's say nanotech.
Not us.
Not you and I creating this little mm-hmm. thing. But yeah, let's say nanotechnology really takes off next 100, 200, 300 years.
Right. We end up the amount of freedom that we have over what we can do at the nanoscale, the things that we can make, eventually reaches the point where we can make virtually anything.
Out of anything.
I mean, it all comes down, matter energy cannot be created or destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
It can only be transferred. So you would have to have matter to transform into more matter. It's kind of like your dog has to eat something if it's going to go to the bathroom, right? I mean, it's just transfer, right? An atomic explosion is matter becoming energy, and all this. So for this machine to work, you would have to say, all right, Santa has this, right? He needs to make toys.
Mm-hmm.
So he has the elves bring in, a mountaintop that they've harvested.
Right.
And they put the mountaintop in a machine. And now he can transfer X amount of mass into X amount of presence. The mass is the same.
Right.
I don't know. He might lose or gain some energy in there somewhere. But
I mean, he could even throw an elf in there. I mean, I'm not trying to get dark, but that's really what we're talking about, a society where every raw material could be repurposed to make a finished good with this universal constructor. So what happens to big box retailers, right? Presumably they become extinct.
They become a small box, really.
They become the, right, that sits right next to you.
And there's only one small box,
Yeah. And so it also kind of begs the question about what happens to original design or even intellectual property.
Right.
Right. Because what we're talking about here, again, is a mass production, the ability to take almost anything and not only just feed it to a machine and get something on the other side, but the design elements would have to be in there.
I can't help but think about MySpace in this.
Okay.
Remember how, I don't know if you were ever on the MySpace back in the day.
No, I wasn't, but I'm familiar with it, and I know the sort of
well, it seemed like
the web-ridden cave that it is now.
Yeah. Well, you remember how, and some of you may remember, how it started off, it seemed like all the profiles were pretty clean.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if people were – I don't remember if people were given the power to change and customize their profiles over time, or if they merely learned how to do it, or probably a mix of column A and column B. But
emergence.
It got to the point where people's profiles were just unreadable because they were adding like glitter script and changing the fonts and the background and adding animations and video and sound. And it just became a nightmare to where you'd like go to somebody's profile and it would like crash the computer or your brain just trying to look at it.
Right.
So, you know, and Facebook has been pretty ingenious and has avoided a lot of that by limiting what you can do to the profile.
It's the Conway's game of life.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, simple rules, right?
Yeah? Oh, yeah. Simple rules.
The constraints are pretty, yeah.
Yeah. If you give people enough creative rope, they are going to hang themselves and create an unreadable profile. So the idea of a universal constructor where there is no big box, there's basically no mass production anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Do people end up just having horrible things that they've custom designed?
Are you talking about like the Etsy of
yeah.
I don't mean to say that. A lot of Etsy is good, but if anybody has ever gone to regretsy.com, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
The regretsification of life itself.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's possible there could be like, you know, pink boas coming. I don't know where pink boas came from, but generally they're not.
I think they were invented by Jesse Ventura.
Nice. You got your wrestling thing in there. But so anyway, yeah, I mean, there's this idea that there could be a lot of bad design, and not only that, that you would spend your life feeding the machine with whatever resource you had.
Yeah.
And then here's where things get particularly dark. If the machines start to self-replicate, which at that point they'd be able to, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, because we're talking in the far, far away land. The mission of the self-replicating robot would be, you know, to continue to create versions of itself, and then you need more energy and matter to do this.
It's interesting because we end up in like a matter economy or a mass economy.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, currency is now dirt or whatever material you can find. And not only that, you have a population that could be, you know, much more machine-dominated than human-dominated. And that's where the singularity always comes in, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, basically what I'm talking about here is an Armageddon that could be ushered in by machines that are just gobbling up all the resources, including us.
Right. So let's go back to the North Pole. You're at Santa's.
Are you trying to take it to the nice place again?
No. Well, we're gonna go through the nice place to the dark place.
Okay.
But, all right, so at Santa's laboratory, his workshop, however you want to look at it, because all it has in it is that universal manufacturing device. This nano manufacturing wonder machine.
Right.
And Santa's taken off early because he's a little tired, and he's left one elf in charge, and the elf does something wrong with the settings.
Mm-hmm.
Like he accidentally flips it over, or he spills a little eggnog on the keyboard, and it goes haywire.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly it's making a copy of itself. That suddenly makes a copy of itself, and it's making a copy of itself, and it's self-replicating without end. It's like a cancer cell, except it's transferring matter, and suddenly elves are disappearing right and left as they're sucked into the machine.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like ice and polar bears, and then where does it end? We end up with this gray goo scenario, right? This is the nano apocalypse, the idea that you could create nano machines or some sort of a nano manufacturing device that ends up transforming all available matter into itself to where it's just nothing but nano machines everywhere. It's just what looks like gray goo covering the entire Earth and eventually is the Earth.
Well, and that's the interesting part of this, right, is that there's this ability to imitate. So it's very possible that all of a sudden you have machines that are able to imitate us, imitate flora, fauna, and you know what I'm saying? It's not just replacing of the human being or even using humans as fuel, but just sort of taking over the Earth in as many ways as possible.
Well, indeed, you could go crazy on this and say that this apocalyptic Christmas that we're describing actually happened millions of years ago.
Oh.
And then after the Grey Goo scenario occurred, the Grey Goo like reformed itself into some approximation of 21st century life.
All right, kids, I know you're shaking your head. It's not going to happen. But we're talking about, you know, nanotechnology. We're talking about nanocarbon tubes that are 100 times stronger than steel and just tinier than a thread of hair.
Yeah, the seeds have already been planted. It's just a question of how big will the nano tree grow and will it consume the Earth?
Happy holidays!
Yeah. All right, well, let's call the robot over here. Surely we have time for a quick... quick listener mail from the mail folder.
You won't call the robot Arnie, will you?
I'm still warming up to the idea that this robot is a person.
Okay.
So this one says, "Dear Santa," oh, this is a Santa letter. I mean, these are all Santa letters. Oh, wait, take this back, Arnie.
Geesh.
All right, now okay, now I have the right folder. Here's one from Robert, different Robert,
you?
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, not me.
Mm-hmm.
Robert M.
Dear me.
Hi, Robert and Julie. I'm sitting in my car right now. Don't panic. I got to work early. I love the podcast, and I'm currently listening to The Quest for Cyber Immortality. And I just want to let you know that I have seen this concept twice in fiction, both times to very creepy effect. The first example is in the Orson Scott Card novel Speaker of the Dead, which I actually just finally bought that the other day for like a nickel. I love used bookstores. In this story, the protagonist goes through the universe, effectively living hundreds of years via relativistic travel, and seeks out the dead whose memory is being perverted. He does extensive research with the help of a galaxy-spanning AI and then performs a ceremony in which he represents the dead person as accurately and fairly as possible. The second example is from Doctor Who. Let's be honest, what haven't they done? Anyway, in the episode Forest of the Dead, astronauts' consciousnesses are briefly preserved in their communications equipment, a phenomenon called ghosting. I find it interesting that there are these two opposite ideas about memory, the terrifyingly tragic ghosting and the catharsis of speaking for the dead. They make me wonder whether any middle ground is possible there. Thanks for reading, and if you use this in the show, give a shout-out to my friend Matt for recommending the podcast. Thanks. And indeed, thanks, Matt, for turning your friends on to our podcast. So word of mouth, that's the big way it spreads, like nanoparticles, self-replicating.
Or viruses.
Yeah.
Some.
So... if you have some holiday cheer you would like to share with us, or something about the end of the world, or just some general ramblings about, I mean, the big thing about I love about our podcast is the idea that it gets people's brains moving and gets people thinking about the philosophical or futuristic implications of the subject. So,
which gets us percolating. So
yeah. So share it with us. You can find us on Facebook as Stuff to Blow the Mind, and our handle on Twitter is Blow the Mind.
And you can always write a letter to Santa, send it to us, and we'll forward it on. And you can do that at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 85,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. To try Audible free today and to get a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/mindstuff. That's audiblepodcast.com/mindstuff. Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.